I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Life's a Banquet, a podcast about the highs and also mostly the lows of everything edible, spreadable, and pourable with me, your host, action star Sylvester Stallone. And
me, your host, who's that guy that's in the submarine movie where he's a chef?
Oh, who's that guy? Steven Seagal, you mean?
Steven Seagal, that's who I am.
National
Welcome.
Treasure and terrible racist, Steven Seagal. Great ponytail, though, and fabulous Widow's Peak. Award-winning Widow's Peak?
Yes, award-winning.
Imagine the Widow's Peak Awards.
I don't want to.
It would just be like Steven Seagal and like that little kid from the Munsters. I think all the Munsters had a Widow's Peak, actually. I think you need a Widow's Peak to be a monster.
Well, it's genetic because they're all related.
That's a good point. Do we know any other famed Widow's Peaks?
Oh, I'm sure. They're out there. I just can't think of anybody right now.
I know. We're really putting ourselves on the spot here. Please, listener, call into the show with your favorite Widow's Peak in America or abroad. Hello? Are you looking at Widow's Peaks right now? You are, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to look up Ben and Jen information. There's just not a lot out there.
Oh, you're just doing research for the podcast. Got it.
Yeah.
How's your week gone so far?
My week was fine. I finally watched the movie Pig last night, which was very cute.
Yeah, very sad.
Very sad, yes.
Very sad. Great movie. I thought it was a really great movie about grief, which is something that I talk about a lot on my other podcast here on Heritage Radio Network Processing. But, you know, it's like you often don't have honest depictions of like the full spectrum of grief. I mean, it's getting better and better, but it's either like, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. I thought it was a very interesting take on what that looks like and how it manifests.
I feel like it's a take on how like men who don't need to like connect or do anything in society are allowed to just be like psychotic freaks about grief.
That's like true as well. It's like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna take to the mountains and pick some mushrooms, got myself a pig, deal with it.
Yeah, like just like I refuse to like connect and heal. I'm just gonna become, you know, either this pig guy loner or this monster truffle salesman.
This pig guy loner. It's like in the back in the day when like you would post like single ads in the newspaper, it'd be like SWF seeking PGO, pig guy owner loner, PGL.
Pig guy owner and loner.
Pig guy loner owner.
That's L-O-N-E-R, not L-O-A-N-E-R, not loaning out the pig.
That's right. The pig is mine.
But I did like it. I think that, I don't know. There was some parts of it where I was like, well, this is not realistic, but I think that was the point. Like the whole like underground fighting restaurant owners part.
Yeah. I think it's a metaphor for like what restaurant owners do anyway. But I loved how like the kind of characterization, but like also the truthfulness to like how the food scene is. I mean, I don't know what it's like in Portland, but you know, just like we have like locally foraged dirt martini. Like I just love that.
Very yeah. American I mean, psycho. I feel like making fun of that though is also kind of like, I mean, it was filmed in 2019. So like, you know,
you think it was still cool to do that. That joke. I still like it. I think it's still funny. For me, it works.
I don't know. I feel like I've been over the whole, like, and I think we've talked about this in the podcast, like the representation of like a fancy restaurant, tongue-in-cheek making fun of it. Not that I necessarily like want to like rep those places. I'm just saying it's like it's been done.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done, but for me, it's a trope that never really goes out of style. I think if done well, for instance, that reminded me very much of like the perfection in American Psycho, of how they, you know, the depiction of like Dorcia and fine dining it. I think like it can get watered down and cheapened. And yes, it's like an old joke, but some old jokes are still good. For instance, Rodney Dangerfield jokes. My wife, I get no respect. You know what I mean?
Take my wife, please. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The diet starts tomorrow. No ifs, ands, or fat buts about it.
That's totally fine. But overall, I think it was a good movie. I think I was just sort of like, would this guy, I don't really understand, like, I get that he's a truffle salesman and he's like a big deal, but then he sort of had like a gangster sort of persona, but then he was just like, oh, if you cook me this meal, I'm going to cry. I don't know. I'm just like, I was like, what is the reality here? Would this man actually break down crying just because?
Well, Nicole, people can contain multitudes. He's a riddle wrapped in a rhyme, tossed around in a big question mark.
Anyway, spoiler alert, a man cries in this movie.
spoiler alert, a pig dies and a man cries. If you haven't
seen it,
I
didn't even
now.
Spoil that part. You're the one who just spoiled
There's
that.
A dead pig, okay? And you know what? There's dead pigs all around us and living pigs all around us, and therein lies the problem.
Yes.
Well, congratulations to you on that. I watched the season finale of Euphoria, which I will not spoil right now, but I'd like to.
I have not watched it. I started watching Atlanta, which is really good.
Yes, I've heard. I've got to get into Atlanta.
It's good. It's funny. I enjoyed it.
Love that Childish Gambino.
Yes. He's fine. Jen and Ben News.
You're someone who doesn't like anything.
What?
Can we agree on that you're someone who likes almost nothing? Is that fair to say?
No, it's not fair to say. Okay. I don't have to agree with the general public on everything.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I'm sorry, what were we going to say?
News for Ben and Jen. They're happily almost engaged, as usual.
I wonder if they're saving themselves for marriage. What if they've never had sex before?
You don't think they were having sex in the early 2000s?
No, I think they were
wearing
saving
juicy
themselves.
Track suits?
I think they're both religious people. And it's going to be exciting when they finally consummate.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll get the scoop on that. We can sell their first night together to Us Weekly or something.
Hopefully they live stream it. The concert of a lifetime. And there'll be like other celebrities in the background, like singing and cheering them on with Brad Pitt and Matt Damon.
Yes. But also then Pam and Tommy are going to be pissed because they're like, our lives are ruined by our sex tape. And this is a live stream and everyone's watching it.
Have you finished watching I haven't watched any more of Pam and Tommy. I think I'm only like 3 episodes in.
I don't. Yeah. Once again, I'm a hater. I'm not that into it.
Shocking. What is it?
I really wanted to like it.
You're upset. I know. I remember you saying you're upset that Seth Rogen got so hot. And I agree with you. It's not fair.
It's rude. It's rude. It's incredibly rude. But that's not really what's stopping me. I think it's the not great pacing.
Or the acting.
The acting for me is actually okay. I feel like, you know, what little I've seen of Pam so far has been okay. I mean, she's barely had a chance. We haven't really, as far as I've gotten, she hasn't had much opportunity to really do anything.
Yeah, we have little of Pam. I like the guy who plays Tommy Lee. I have a crush on him.
He's actually good. He's, you know, giving big Tommy Lee vibes, feel very believable that is what Tommy Lee would be like.
I mean, should Tommy Lee, knowing what we know now, I mean, I knew he was like kind of a grotesque person, but I didn't realize after watching the show that he was quite, and obviously maybe it's, you know, like dramatized or whatever, but he seemed so bad. Like, do you think he really did though? Like, if he really did, I feel like we need to have him walk the plank, like unacceptable behavior. And I'm not a cancel fanatic, but I don't know.
The part where he like puts a gun in that Seth Rogen's hot Seth Rogen's face.
Yeah. Don't stick a gun in hot Seth Rogen's face. Maybe uglier Seth Rogen. Go back like 15 years, stick a gun in that guy's face, but not this hot Seth Rogen. Too hot.
He's done nothing wrong.
Yeah. Give him a break. You're just jealous. You're hating. You're hating on the Rogan.
Yeah.
On the Rogan.
I bet that all that's been that I've done, I haven't done extensive research, obviously, because I'm very busy, but All I heard is that the electrician was disgruntled, like whether or not that, I'm sure that like he probably wasn't treated with like the most awesome professionalism by Tommy Lee in a Speedo.
But maybe he wasn't threatened. Maybe his life.
But who knows? I mean, yeah. We don't know.
Well, that's for that guy
should write a tell-all. It's also funny that he never got in trouble for stealing that safe at all.
Really wild. The whole thing makes little to no sense whatsoever. So I have some exciting news.
Okay, lay it on me.
I got married. I'm just kidding.
I know.
I'm married. And I had a baby. I'm married with children.
You're married to the mob?
Yes, I've gotten married to the mob. It's pretty good, actually, so far. They're taking very good care of me. Yeah, I
feel being married to the mob now when its heyday is sort of over must be more low-key.
Definitely. We do basically nothing. We just go to, like, the local red sauce joint around the corner.
Sure.
No, I am making, for this week's pop-up at Zaza, pina colada cake.
Ooh, that's very exciting.
Isn't that cute? I thought you would like it because I know how you like things that are cute and boozy. So let me just take you through this thing. Making a cake that we make our desserts in these little cups. It's going to have pineapple curd in the bottom instead of lemon curd, a delicious coconut and lime cake, and then a Malibu rum buttercream frosting. Take that.
Ooh, that's good. I love that. Also, I like that there's the chunks of pineapple have been removed, which is the biggest scare for me.
I know for you that you are not a chunk lover.
I want things to be smooth like a baby's food.
Any kind of chunk that... Like a baby's poo.
No, like a baby's food.
Their food and their poo are the same, right? How could you just have like hard ours. Poo? How could you have hard poo when it goes in smooth? It just hardens. It doesn't make any sense.
They get dehydrated from all they're working out.
Oh, right. Yes. Baby jazzercising. Anyway, I thought you would find that interesting. And it prompted me to think about getting drunk for one of my first times ever. Oh, as, no. Like, a 13-year-old on Malibu rum. Worst puke you could have, like, unless it's, like, 99 bananas. Ugh, puke, which is God. Worse.
Malibu rum is so gross. One of my friends in high school used to drink Malibu and pineapple juice.
Yeah.
For the inspiration for your cake.
Yes, I contacted them before I made the cake. I said, excuse me, do you know Nicole Bailey? I have a cake question for you, fella.
It's so sugary to just drink glasses and glasses of pineapple juice and Malibu rum.
It's sticky sweet, yeah.
We used also, to it's not even that high in alcohol. Can you get drunk from it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think at 13 I did. We did like a pina colada pancake a couple times at Brucey that had like, it was like a pineapple pancake and had like a Malibu syrup. Sure. That was delicious.
That sounds great.
It tastes like suntan lotion, though. And I wonder, yeah. I couldn't help but wonder, is it suntan lotion?
I think that they use, like, the byproduct of suntan lotion is Malibu rum.
It's the runoff.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to what I think we should get right into, because we have some long stories today. Yada, yada, yada. We're doing citrus this week.
Yeah, we might have to do a two-parter, because I have a lot. Because I decided to go with the history of oranges in Florida, which is... not a small topic.
That's a dark history. It's a sad history. It's fucked up. It's definitely a very Steven Seagal-ish. Is he involved in your story at all?
He's not involved to my knowledge, but I sort of stop kind of in the 1900s and then sort of skip to today. So that's sort of like skips his career, you know?
Yeah, the 1900s. So I don't
know if he was like planting oranges in Florida at any time. I'm sure that he probably was, but I didn't get into that part.
I'm sure he spends his leisure time in Florida. At least we know that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, great.
He seems like a Florida guy for sure.
Go for it. Let's get into this motherfucker.
Okay. Oranges. Unlike pawpaws and cranberries are not native to our land. And after I tell you all about us trying to cultivate them here, you may wonder if we ever should have tried. My opinion is no. So, we can't really talk about oranges without talking about the colonization of Florida by multiple evil white people. the first being the Grand Dam Ponce de Leon, who Steven Seagal should probably play in a movie sometime.
Who should?
Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ponce de Leon. I mean, is there, let's forget about what old Ponzi has done to humanity. Is there a better name in
it's
human
a good
history?
Name. Yeah. But it's like weird to be like, hey, my name's Ponce.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name? Kimberly? Oh, I'm Ponce. De Leon. Yeah.
You're like, did you say pants?
I'm sorry.
I don't think it's okay to make fun of people's names. So I'm sorry. Maybe we should cut that out. Anyway. So the legend has it that Ponce de Leon himself planted the first orange tree. That's probably not true, but the Spanish definitely brought sour orange seeds with them when they came over because they just assumed that no one would be living here, I guess. They came over and got in all up in Florida around the 16th century. They were actually like the first people to get in there. Mm. They brought with them oranges, conflict, slavery, and disease. And they also, in addition to this, wanted all of the Native Americans who were living in Florida to become Catholic.
Folks, if you are, word to the wise, if you're going to a dinner party, don't bring disease, colonialism, forced religion. Those are, you know, try a casserole instead.
Yeah, a casserole. And so basically nobody gave a shit about Florida during the early colonization of America for a while. So Spain just kind of got to be the major like attempt at, they were the first people to like really go for it. They were trying to build missions everywhere. They were really like what they did in California. But they didn't do so hot. The Native American populations were actually pretty successful at kind of holding them off and maintaining a foothold. So they just didn't really get a lot of ground. However, the English settlers up north started being like, well, we want to get down in Florida and see what's the deal.
What is the deal with Florida?
So they actually started kind of trying to colonize Florida. And they were successful at colonizing Florida because they destroyed almost the entire population of Native Americans. So, and in doing so, they also kind of destroyed what little foothold Spain had also had. So there's something called the Apalachee Massacre, which was a series of creek raids in 1704 against a largely peaceful population of Native Americans in Florida with the sole goal of depopulating the state. So
cool.
They were like, you know what? In order for us to get in here and like really make a go of it, destroying the earth, we need to kill all these people. And it worked out pretty well for them. They basically conducted a series of raids over a period of time. They're called the Creek Raids, and they just, you know, decimated the population. And this also contributed to the Spanish not really being able to maintain a foothold because their whole plan, as we saw in like Mexico and South America, is to get in there, like, take over a population of people and then force them into agriculture and set up plantations. But they couldn't do that in Florida because there just weren't enough alive people for that to work out.
And that's when they turned to the alligators and snakes.
So anyway, then the English colonizers were like, oh my God, yeah, we won. Everyone's dead. Oh, look, there's some oranges over here. So these evil and murderous pioneers were like, these oranges are too sour. Because once again, the native Spanish oranges were pretty sour, which they still, there are still really cool sour oranges that are hard to find because they're still in Spain where they should be, that I kind of like to find every once in a while here in America. But they were like, we need to make these oranges less sour because every time I taste one, it reminds me of the time I killed an entire family. So, a bunch of people got together and they started bringing oranges that were, you know, sweeter, more palatable, whatever. And so as a result, there became more of a mass market for oranges. It was still pretty local because there was no real way to transport them around. So it was pretty much a big booming local market. But then in 1835, a major freeze came all around and
the majority, I had to do Mr. Freeze. Sorry.
So big freeze came, the orange market got really pretty much annihilated in everywhere except for Florida, which helped push orange growing only to Florida. There are groves in Georgia and South Carolina, but it just gets too cold there in the winter sometimes. So all those groves went away. Everyone moved down to Florida. And that sort of helped things along in Florida. And then in the 1870s, the railroad came down there and something called orange fever took over Florida.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
Well, it's not a real fever, like the fevers that they gave to the Native Americans. But
that was sour orange fever.
It's a more of a fever for greed. But the railroad came down, and we discussed in a previous episode, the Florida episode, how the railroad is bad in Florida. It contributed to the draining of the Everglades and really fucking up the environment in Florida a great deal.
And you know, but Florida, as much shit as we talk about Florida, because I guess of what it's the tropes of Florida is like now and what certain parts actually are, like, it's such an interesting place that it's attached to the United States because the terroir is like so different, you know?
It's I'm fascinated
tropical by it. And swampy and like, and there is so much cool, like spooky, like ghosty. There's so much like awesome stuff about the way that Florida naturally was, and it's terrible. I mean, obviously colonization is the biggest problem. But yeah, the whole thing is just very disappointing what we've done to Florida.
We've done a lot of horrible shit to Florida, but also to California too, and everywhere.
And the rest everywhere. Yeah. Montana, Wyoming.
So yeah, the railroad came. Everyone was like, praise the Lord. A bunch of rich dudes trying to get more rich as they do ran down to Florida and were like, hello, how can I fuck up the environment in search of personal wealth? And
bonjour, and they're like, here.
They're like, here, plant an orange grove, y'all. So I did a little bit of research about, you know, obviously agriculture on a huge scale is pretty much not good. But it seems as though orange farming isn't like the worst you could possibly do. So I guess we'll cut you guys a little bit of slack. So it eventually became the primary industry in the state. That sort of fell off recently, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it seems as though, the real problem is that a lot of orange groves are being abandoned nowadays and huge housing developments are moving in, which is of course worse because the population in Florida continues to like explode and it's kind of psychotic. There's people who are just mounting campaigns like do not move here, but it's not working.
Maybe that's why like people, again, the stereotype, the trope of like the kind of whatever Floridian, you know, how we're all like, let's cut Florida off from the rest of the country. Maybe that's just their like long game. They're like, let's just make it seem like a terrible place to live so people stop coming here. But really it's like very nice when you get there. It's like a paradise.
Well, it was a paradise and it now is more like just rampant development destroying everything despite rising sea levels. But anyway, let's move back to 1894, okay? So oranges are going great. They have been going great for 24 years since the railroad rolled in. But guess what? God has other plans. There's another big freeze. It gets down to 18 degrees.
What the hell? That's very
cold. In Florida. I know. And so the oranges turned black. And the trees were like, we're dead, okay? But the rich dudes were like, oh no, we are in big trouble because we just happened to get rich by accident. We don't actually have any good business skills. So yeah, people were literally freaking out. There were fistfights breaking out. This boy whose parents owned the San Juan Hotel has a bunch of stories. One of which is, and this is him being quoted. He said, at 9 that night, the night of the big freeze, a fine looking gentleman in a fancy black frock coat and a Stetson hat walked up to the thermometer on the front of the hotel and shot himself in the head.
Oh my God. Whoa, dude. That's wild. That's very cinematic.
He probably put I know the Stetson hat is really, I mean, they should make a movie about this. This guy obviously put it all into Big Orange.
Yeah. He put all his money on orange.
Yeah. But if he just waited like a 24 hours, he would have found out that only the young trees were dying and the mature trees were like, we can handle this, we're alive. But
it seems like a gross overreaction, don't you think?
Just like wait a minute and get some more information before you end it all. But maybe he had other stuff going on. Maybe it was unrelated to the freeze. Who knows?
Maybe he was just so cold. He's like, I can't stand this another minute.
So, yeah, he was like, oh, shit, I don't have a winter coat.
He's like, I'm not wearing any long winter underwear. I'm not prepared for this.
I forgot my long johns.
I only brought a bathing suit. I have no reason to live. And a Stetson hat.
A man wearing only a Speedo and a Stetson hat shot himself in the hip. Yes, so the first freeze got the young trees, but the older trees survived, and there was, like, a warm period, and so they kind of, like, thrived. So what that means is they got a bunch of sap inside of them, apparently. Ooh. And the oranges are doing great. They're like, yay, thank you for all this sap, my tree. And then, unfortunately, God was like, no, thank you. There was another freeze. So because they were filled with so much sap from the warm period, the trees like froze solid and literally like exploded. Like,
oh my God.
Like, they said that there were just like sounds that sounded like gunfire going off in the orange groves of the trees just like exploding.
That is amazing. And why hasn't this been made into a movie? Between the naked Stetson hat wearer and the exploding trees, I mean, what's going to happen next?
Well, what happened next is that it destroyed the whole industry. So the industry was booming enough that like whole towns had been created around it. There was like really like this whole booming Florida thing was just all orange based. And so when the exploding trees happened, everybody just skipped town. So like all these groves were abandoned, all these towns were abandoned. Everybody just moved back up north and was like, it's not worth it. But because I don't know why people can't just like see what's happening and give up. But for some reason in the 1900s, a bunch of different dudes came down and were like, let's try this again. Like, even though like multiple freezes have destroyed the entire industry itself and thus destroyed the entire state's development, let's just try it again.
It'll be different for us.
It was different for them though. They got it to work. Obviously, oranges, we can eat them now whenever we want. I would say most of them are coming from California these days. But so, yeah, things were doing great. We had oranges everywhere. We had all those cute Tropicana commercials from the 80s where they stuck a straw right in the orange.
That doesn't work, by the way, people. Don't try it at home.
Well, you can maybe get it in there, but you won't be able to get a lot of juice out of
there. You can't suck any juice out of an orange with a plastic straw. Believe me, I've tried it. Believe me.
So yeah, things were going great for a while. However, once again, the Lord is intervening to let us know that we are not supposed to have orange trees here because Florida is slated to have its smallest crop of oranges in 75 years.
Wow. Why?
80% of all trees have a disease called citrus greening, which basically kills the whole tree.
Oh my God, they got COVID as well, basically, at the same time.
But it's not just that. So 50% of groves have been lost over the years to development. So it's a combination of both developers coming in and putting little houses on top of the orange groves and then the disease. So, yeah.
Whoa.
Once again, oranges are failing. And we have to ask ourselves, was it worth it?
I don't think so, because I'm going to tell you something right now. I mean, I like oranges, okay, and I'm a citrus freak, but orange is my least favorite of the citruses. And I love, like, the flavor of orange. I love orange zest in things. I like good oranges. Like, I'll really get down with the citrus salad or if, like, a Manolo Tangelo or a Honeybell orange or whatever. But, like, I don't like drinking orange juice and I really don't care for mimosas. I'm sorry. I know maybe I'm the person who doesn't like anything. I certainly don't love oranges. That's for sure. Grapefruit. I'm a grapefruit guy all the way. 100% team grapefruit, which is a wacky fruit.
I like drinking orange juice. I don't really do it that often, although I do have some in my house right now. Love a mimosa. I also don't really eat oranges very much. Although I do love a blood orange, but they're so messy. You feel like to wear like a full out, like a covering.
You have to wear a bib. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to wear a bib and gloves and like a hat. And
hazmat suit.
Beekeeping outfit.
You have to wear a coat of arms if you want to get into a blood orange.
Yeah.
That's what it was invented for. Human blood and also blood oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Orange juice makes me like really phlegmy.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Why though?
You're probably allergic to them.
Allergic to orange, to naranjas? I don't think so. You know what I love? I do love a clementine. I mean, like an orange is fine. It's good. It's just not, it doesn't like jazz me up like some other citrus. Like give me a pomelo or one of those like green grapefruits. I forget what it's called. An Ouroboro. That's a snake eating its tail. What is the grapefruit called that's like...
The necklace from the Never Ending Story.
It's like, has a name. It sounds like Osobuco, but really it's a grapefruit. Anyway.
I don't know.
I'm more into grapefruit and lemon and lime.
Sure.
But orange is good. And that's a very interesting story. And it's very sad in so many ways. Yeah, the human need for fucking whatever, you know?
It's just really fucked up. But we did the same thing out here in Indiana to make psychotic amounts of agriculture happen.
Don't even get me started on bananas.
God, I can never do a story. Did we do bananas? It's just obviously.
It's, like, it's too depressing so and up. Too much, right? We should do the history of banana bread and how fucking stupid it is, but also delicious.
We should do the history of how Banana Republic, the store, thought it would be okay to name their store that.
I know. It's so shocking. So weird.
And everyone is just like, it's fine.
It's cool. That sounds great. I love
I'm gonna
it.
Go I'm going to go to the Banana Republic outlet store this weekend. Because their prices are too high.
So nuts. And then we can talk about Bananarama and the worst flavor of candy in the history of the world, the banana runt.
Oh, yeah. Or the banana taffy, also very bad.
You know what? My mom used to really like banana BB bats, which is like a taffy pop from like the, I don't know, 50s or whatever. And they still make them sometimes. You can find them at like penny candy stores. And I do have like a soft spot for those. And you know what else? I'm going to make a confession right here on the podcast, you guys. Now, we might lose some listener because of this. But I like, when I was younger, I fucking liked banana milk.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like the banana creamy combination is a little bit more palatable to me than like the, even though the runt is sort of a creamy, I don't know.
It's like a sour banana flavor. Banana though. It's whack.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like banana milkshake, banana split. I'm down with that. And that's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, that's chill. A banana ice cream is mad good, dude. A fresh, delicious banana ice cream.
Oh, I love a banana pudding ice cream where there's like banana chunks and vanilla wafers in the ice cream. That
absolutely.
Is really good.
You know, I always tell myself and others that I hate bananas, but it's not true. I don't really hate them. Some people hate them. I have been living a lie this entire time. Some people actually hate bananas and they're like grossed out by them. I just am like not turned on. Like I don't get hard for bananas like bananas do for me.
I like a banana. I've never really met anyone who doesn't like a banana. I don't believe they exist.
Some people are.
There are people who
smell.
Are allergic to bananas.
Yeah, some people are allergic to bananas. That's true.
But I think that banana bread is really good, and I like you know when that you take a banana and you freeze it and you blend it and it becomes ice cream. That's pretty tight.
That's chill. And like a frozen banana covered in chocolate. Now, how did this become a banana episode? We need to get away from this. Let's take a break quickly and stop talking about bananas.
Let's keep talking about bananas forever.
Bananas forever, the name of our band. We are bananas forever. Fuck you, Brooklyn. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Okay. Come back.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2-Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
We're back, and the bananas are out, and citrus is once again in.
Nicole. Back in.
Nicole, I love that you picked this topic about citrus. I had a little bit of a difficult time figuring out what to cover. At first, I had thought the grapefruit. Then I said, I don't know, too boring. Interesting because it's kind of like a wacky fruit that a lot of people are like not into, but like some people like myself are completely obsessed with. Like a good pink grapefruit for me is like quite literally, and I don't mean figuratively, the best part of my day. I love
How do you eat it? Do you have a grapefruit spoon?
Absolutely not. I cut it into sections, like the kind you put in your mouth when you would like, you know, like in The Godfather. And I just like I cut it like, I guess you would say vertically into like segments and then just chomp on them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just think it's so funny how in like the movies, people are like always having breakfast with like a half a grapefruit, but like no one really does that in real life.
I don't understand why anyone would eat a grapefruit that way. It seems so typical, messy, like stupid. And I like, I know a lot of people like to put a little sugar on top. Whatever reason, the grapefruits that I always find around here in the winter, like the really nice pink grapefruits. And I don't like love a deep, deep ruby red grapefruit. I like it if it's good, but like the light pink colored ones I found are like the absolute best. They're so
sweetest.
They're like sweet. They're tangy. They're like so juicy. Oh my God. My mouth is watering thinking about grapefruits, but I have already had
one today.
I just
want to like brulee some and have them in a citrus salad.
Brulee away. I love it. So I am not doing grapefruits though. So everybody relax. I am doing instead a drink that bears my name, not yours. Tang.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Tang.
Bears the first part of your name.
My real name is Tang. We changed it to Tangora when we came over from Italy to make it interesting, more Italian sounding. So look, here's a fact that I have to tell you first and foremost. I've never had Tang before. I know that makes me somewhat unqualified to tell you about it, but it's part of, it rhymes with my name, or it's part of my name. So I felt like I should do
it. I feel like they're just large swaths of the grocery store that you've never experienced. And I don't really understand why.
Like what other swath haven't I been in?
Cottage cheese.
That's true. Cottage cheese was never really for me. I think it's because I saw my grandma eating it younger.
And then you said that you never had bananas, which then you told us was a lie. But you
No, I said I never liked bananas, and I never had bananas. I grew up on bananas like every other fucking dumb kid in this country. No, cottage cheese, I think my grandma would eat it when I was younger, and I remember it like collecting in the corners of her mouth, and I think it turned me off, unfortunately.
Well, that will happen to all of us one day.
It's true. It wasn't her fault. I recently tried it, and I like it now, cottage cheese.
I know. I'm just giving you shit. But I also think that it makes sense that you haven't had Tang, because I had it maybe a couple of times when I was growing up, but I think it was more of an earlier generation.
Right. I just want to mention that I have had so much other fucking powdered drink. Crystal Light, Country Time Lemonade, etc., etc.
For Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid and Whip. All right, so I got my information today from The Untold Truth of Tang by Brent Ferdiak for MASH.com and from an article in Food & Wine entitled How NASA Made Tang Cool by Matt Blitz. So.
NASA? NASA,
like the county next to Suffolk where I grew up. Okay, so actually that's funny because what I'm about to say has something to do with Nassau County. So Charles William or CW Post, which is a college in Nassau County, Charles William CW Post went to Battle Creek Sanitarium in the early 1890s. Now, this was a place, has anyone seen the movie Road to Wellville? Raise your hand. I've talked about it 8,000 times on this show. Basically what the sanitarium, that movie was based on the sanitarium. So at the time, the sanitarium is managed by the Kellogg brothers, John Harvey and William Keith, who have developed a dry cereal for their patients, as well as Postgym, a caffeine-free beverage that Post preferred to coffee. Go back to some of our earlier episodes. I think the one that was done on corn, I think when the show was co-hosted by Breton, is about cornflakes and how they were developed to, by these fucking nuts to stop masturbation. So if you're having a masturbating problem, I'm just going to go ahead and suggest right now, if you can't stop, just get yourself a thing of cornflakes.
I do like Kellogg's cornflakes.
Well, probably because you're sick of masturbating.
You know what's good with Kellogg's cornflakes is sliced up motherfucking bananas.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, you're right, right. I like strawberries though better. So anyway, then Post, he gets inspired by these two fucking nutballs, and he founds the Postgym Cereal Company in 1895, and after his death by suicide in 1914, when he shot himself because the temperature was so cold in Florida, that was him, callback, and a series of corporate deals, the company becomes General Foods Corporation in 1929.
Are you saying Post-gym, like after your gym workout?
Postgym, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I'm saying Postgym. P-O-S-T-U-M. Postgym.
Oh, Postgym. Okay.
Postgym. It's like the difference between possum and opossum, which one of the two I saw curled up in like the window grates of my neighbor's building the other day, and it was terrifying. Aww. It was an opossum. That was the Irish kind.
I see.
Patio opossum. Okay. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. In 1941, General Foods hires a chemist named Dr. William A. Mitchell, and this motherfucker comes up with Tang in 1959. So,
but why?
Because, well, I'm glad you asked, because there is an obsession. This is what I wrote in my notes. There was an obsession with space. There were busy moms. Their oranges are too big and clunky. And what about all that sticky juice?
Oranges are too big and clunky, unlike grapefruits.
Are you sick and tired of these stupid oranges taking up so much room on your counter? In steps Tang to solve that problem for American households.
What an insult to the men and women who murdered everyone in Florida just to make an orange grove.
Well, I know. And just so these fucking assholes can go ahead and like turn it into like a little powder and, you know, whatever.
Is there even any orange actually in Tang?
No one knows. The ingredients are not listed.
It's just like citric acid.
It's citric acid. It's orange flavor. The first ingredient is sugar. It's swag. So anyway, Tang simulates the experience of drinking fresh squeezed orange juice via the creation
of... simulate it.
It's very close. Just close your eyes and pretend it's real juice. It's got the phlegm and everything. The creation
Are
of
you tired of drinking real orange juice? Wouldn't you rather live in a simulation of drinking it?
Are you sick and tired of lugging that giant jug of cold, cold orange juice back to your house every week?
Are you tired of drinking orange juice because it's just not sugary enough?
Are you sick and tired of not getting diabetes quickly enough from that gallon of orange juice you're paying too much for at the grocery store each week? So anyway, Tang is like super pops in the 60s and 70s. Then it takes a downturn when people are like, this stuff is not so good.
The hippies?
The hippies are like, down with Tang, up with fucking 4C. Up with Sunny D, right? I guess Sunny D maybe has some kind of problem. Oh,
no,
I
was that gonna, was like the 90s.
That's true. I was going to do Sunny D. Nothing really interesting about it, except one girl in England in the 90s drank like 2 gallons of it a day and she turned orange.
So there probably is beta carotene in one of the things
yes,
to make it orange.
Exactly. There's beta carotene. So Mitchell, the guy who invents this, he dies in 2004, but he also invented your favorite whip, Cool Whip.
That is my favorite whip.
Except for Miracle Whip. And he also invents
like
Pop Rocks.
Wow, this guy did it all.
I know. What can't he do? Am I right?
Well, he can't live forever.
That's true. He can't. can live forever. So anyway, he, like, a little bit about him before this very important work he did with Cool Whip and Pop Rocks. And what are we talking about? Tang. He was tasked with creating a tapioca substitute for American troops fighting in the Pacific. And the
why
resulting...
Okay, hold on. Please. Why do they need a sub? Like, okay, they're eating so much tapioca that there's not
they're
enough.
Like, we simply cannot be out here fighting this war if there's no tapioca. Truly, find us tapioca or send us home. That's what they said. Isn't that shocking? God.
Well, I'm sure they use it for other things, but it just seems as though they're all eating tapioca pudding and putting tapioca out of business, and they need a substitute.
Big tapioca needed a solution. In steps Mitchell. And the resulting concoction he made is called Mitchell's Mud.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was funny.
That sounds good.
Okay. So there's this whole thing about how, like, Tang was developed for NASA. And that is a big lie, folks. Everything you've been told your whole life is a lie. Now look yourselves in the mirror and try to reconcile with this fact. I'll give you a minute.
Okay. Not a full minute, though.
Okay, fine.
You can have dead air for a full minute.
One full minute of silence for Tang not being developed by NASA. American astronauts did take Tang with them on their earliest manned mission.
Against their will.
They were like, we don't like this shit. They're like, snort it. They snorted it. As a result, there's been a decades-long misconception that Tang was developed by NASA. The actual truth is that General Foods was making a travel drink mix, and NASA thought, oh, this is how we should be flying our beverages. So they purchased the already made commercially available product. Super boring explanation.
Lazy, those NASA losers. But they did invent freeze-dried ice cream, right?
I can't speak to that. I think that they didn't. But you know what they did? Fine. They took Sherry with them to the first expedition on the moon.
Whoa, those drunks.
I know, a bunch of drunk schnapps.
Wait, was it freeze-dried Sherry?
And I think it was just in a pouch. I know. So these days, astronauts mix and drink Tang for an expandable Mylar pouch that is sealed by a plastic valve into which a single serving has been vacuum packed. An astronaut will then take a needle and inject water into the valve, shake up the pouch, and mix it and drink it from a plastic straw. The needle part really threw me. I was like, but that comes back into play shortly in our story.
So couldn't they just have, if they can put Sherry in a pouch, couldn't they just put orange juice in a pouch?
That's exactly right.
Needle shit.
Instead of having all these, like, fucking needle, water-filled needles on board of, like, to make Tang, it seems, like, so crazy. But, you know, those funky, funky astronauts. At the Spike TV Awards, which I wrote in parentheses, so much Axe body spray, Buzz Aldrin was presenting an award to Felix Baumgartner, an Austrian skydiver who made headlines in history for jumping from space, setting a Guinness World Records as the first person to ever broken the sound barrier while in a free fall. So that's very impressive. And then Aldrin says to him, he was envious of his sponsorship deal with Red Bull because he'd never received a dime from Tang. And besides the point, Tang sucks.
That's what Buzz Aldrin said?
Yes, an old man. He said, Tang sucks.
Okay, so Spike TV Awards, what the hell is that?
I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, like, award for, like, the most amount of buttons undone on your, like, tight button-down shirt.
Okay, this seems insane. And Buzz Aldrin was like, yes, I absolutely will come give this dude an award. Which is, actually, I've seen the video of him jumping from that spaceship, and it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. There's
also, like, a Boys of Canada video where they play their video to him jumping. But
it's incredible.
Sure, he should get a Spike TV award. I just don't know. I guess Buzz Aldrin is still trying to cash in.
Yeah, he's trying to stay relevant by making fun of Tang, which seems like a really, like, a cheap shot. Can you just imagine for a moment what, like, the guy who's, like, the president of Spike TV would be like? That just, like, image horrifyingly flashed in my brain.
Yeah, I feel like he just looks like that guy, Mark McGrath.
Oh, your celebrity crush, Mark McGrath?
Yeah. World famous highlights haver.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. World famous highlights haver. Okay, not only did Tang accompany astronauts into space, but it was also a key element in the creation of your favorite corporation, not mine, Microsoft.
Yes, I do love Microsoft.
You
so
love
much.
Your other celebrity crush, Bill Gates, made that revelation in the 2019 Netflix documentary Inside Bill's Brain, Decoding Bill Gates. And turns out inside his brain is a lot of fucking dry powdered Tang. Quote, I would buy a bottle of Tang, which is an orange sugary drink mix that they took to the moon.
You think we don't know what it is?
He's like, I'm so smart. I need to, no one would know even what Tang is. That's how he talked, right? They took to the moon that, you know, instead of going to meals, I would just pour orange Tang on my hand and lick it off my hand as I was working on things.
Okay, so here's something interesting. I used to do that with Country Time Lemonade as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very messy. So everything in his little garage where he invented Microsoft is covered in orange sugary goop. Like
yes, they
Cheeto
address this.
Dust.
They address this later on. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I do have a bit of an issue with knowing that essentially my entire life and yours, all you listener, is being controlled by a man who licks Tang off his hand.
I mean, the stars are just like us.
Their stars are just like us. According to Gates, swallowing Tang powder was a time-saving measure. And he explained, quote, you can just skip the water because your body already has water in it. And just lick it off your hand.
Hmm. Interesting.
Asked whether it caused the keys of his computer to become stained with orange-colored Tang powder, Gates admitted, that's the problem. Yep.
That's the problem?
There's more than one problem here, Billy. You're eating just plain Tang.
And this guy, Tang. You know, I just feel like, wow. No, he could have had like any sort of like wet nap there to wipe his hand off.
No, not no. This guy. And just so you know,
and
all
this
you
guy is married and I'm single. I don't understand.
I know, it's unfair. And all you anti-vaxxers out there, I gotta be honest, you've been right this whole time, except for the fact that the vaccine is not filled with microchips, it's filled with Tang.
It's just more Tang. Spoiler alert.
Kind of leads into what the next thing I'm gonna talk about, which is according to a 1972 paper published in the American Journal Annals of Internal Medicine, not anals, get your mind out of the gutter, Tang has been an integral part of treating heroin addiction when combined with methadone, a less addictive synthetic opiate. As the paper explains, Tang was mixed with methadone and given to patients to drink in order to diminish their withdrawal symptoms. However, there is a dark side to that strategy, the paper explained, when people seeking more powerful high than can be achieved by drinking the Tang methadone combo instead began injecting it into their veins.
So you're not supposed to do that.
You should not inject Tang ever, please. Don't inject it into a bag. Don't inject it into your veins. All they said is they developed, quote, medical complications after a series of such injections.
Oh, no.
I know.
I feel bad laughing.
I know. It's sad. It's not funny. It's very sad. Addiction is a very horrible thing. But folks, please don't put Tang into your veins.
The evil colonizers were doing this, then we could laugh at them.
I know, exactly. We shouldn't laugh at people who are dealing with this type of addiction. You can also clean your toilet with Tang.
What can't you clean your toilet with?
I know, Oops. That's true. Yes. According to the Annals of Medicine, the only thing you can't clean your toilet with is more poop or pee. Everything else is fine. Okay, Joey Green's wacky uses for brand name products shares unorthodox uses for Tang. According to Green, Tang can be used to dissolve warts, clean ovens, ease hangovers, remedy bad breath, shampoo hair, and even provide temporary relief from the symptoms of nicotine withdrawal, which I
What is
try.
This guy talking about?
This fucking guy is washing his motherfucking hair and dissolving his genital warts with Tang. Go with God,
and
my friend.
Also, you can use it to stop your nicotine withdrawals.
I mean, I would be willing to try that for that reason. But so Tang can now be found in about 35 different countries and is particularly popular in Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and the Philippines. The Twin Cities Pioneer Press reports that the brand sales remain strong as of 2016, accounting to $900 million. That seems like so much money.
How much do they sell here in America?
I don't think very much.
The only place that matters.
Yes, the only country that matters. Now, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to read some reviews of Tang from Amazon.com, the only store that matters. and they're all from the great country of America. Darn so it. One reviewer says, started using Tang, which I think is the funniest part of this whole thing.
I wash my hair.
Started using Tang to douche in the 70s. Had a recipe for Russian tea. All my kids loved it. Then my granddaughter wanted it every morning. Now it's time for the next generation. I drink it all the time, just regular. And the recipe calls for 2 cups. So for us, it doesn't actually take that long to go through a large container. I just thought it was funny how this person said she started using Tang. And now she's hooked, probably because she's shooting it
Russian
up.
Russian tea?
Something we should not talk about on this episode. Am I right?
Oh, I don't know what it is.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is either. And I didn't feel like I should look it up. But I will before we get off the phone. Now, okay. Here's the next review. This stuff is slap your grandma good. Folks, we do not endorse the abuse of elderly people.
Mm-mm.
This stuff is slap your grandma good. I'm disappointed I didn't know of it until recently. I've wasted years of my life drinking inferior flavored beverages.
Like orange juice.
Wasted, like the whole year was wasted. Like the whole decade is just wasted because he wasn't drinking Tang, which is, that's saying something. Next review, roaches inside bag it came in. Next review, I use it to make flavored water and it tasted horrible.
What? That is what it is, flavored water. What is that? I don't understand. I need more information, sir or ma'am.
I know.
Person.
This Tang was completely open inside the shipping box and useless to me. I'm not having my kids drink from an unsealed powder. Ridiculous. 2 exclamation points.
It's completely useless to me.
Not so. You could clean your toilet with it.
Yes, you could wash your hair with this and reduce your heroin cravings.
Frankly, next review. Frankly, I don't drink this, but my husband swears by it. He insisted I get the largest size available.
Okay. God.
Got it. Now you're covered in Tang.
And that's last, the whole review?
That's it. And lastly, I've drank it all my life. It tastes great, easy to make, and it's been to the moon. Plus, when I'm sick, hot Tang hits the spot.
What?
That's right. Hot Tang. Hot Tang. That's right. Hot Tang. That's my porn surname.
I just want to go back to the previous review, though, where the person felt like they wanted to write a review about something they don't even drink.
Right. She's never tried it. She's like, my husband fucking likes it, and he's a piece of shit.
I want to write a review about it.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, that's all I really got about Tang. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster. Much less murdering than mine.
Less murdering, more drugs than I had imagined. I'm surprised nobody snorted it. I'm sure it's happened. I know, like, when we were kiddos, we, like, tried snorting pixie sticks. Folks,
I never tried that. I feel like it would burn really bad.
Yeah, it does. I wasted years of my life snorting the wrong...
Nothing up the nose policy when I was 7.
Nothing in the butt, nothing up the nose until you were like 11. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, should we talk about our 3 favorite citruses? Or, I mean, I don't think it has to just be the raw citrus. Like, I want to go ahead and expand this, Nicole, to say like the 3 favorite things that like, ways you can eat citrus, your 3 favorite citrus dishes, like uses for citrus, like what citrus is best for cleaning your fans.
My fans?
Well, I was just looking at my fan and noticing it was dirty, so yeah.
I think you should just spritz orange juice all over it and let it dry, and then it'll clean right off.
You just like tape 2 gallons of orange juice to your fan, leave the lid off, and then turn the fan on and let it spray all over your house.
That's how you get rid of a smelly house.
Oh my God. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first because I don't have anything on right now.
Okay, I have a lot of things that I really fucking love that have citrus in them, but I'm going to go ahead and say my number 3 is going to be a margarita.
Sure, that's great.
I'm going to go ahead and say my number 2 is like freaking avogalemino soup, chicken lemon soup with rice.
Sure, yeah, heard of it.
Love it. And I think like my number one would honestly just be a delicious like plain grapefruit. But I could also go ahead and like sub in a two contenders for first place there is that I love lemon bars and I love key lime pie. And also I love a citrus salad that has like olives and cheese.
Okay, well, that was like 80 things.
I know, I'm sorry. I do love citrus.
I'm going to go ahead and be the hater and tell you my least favorite citrus things.
Ah, please.
Number one. Chocolate oranges. Chocolate oranges, no.
Did you hear that I said O.J. Simpson?
No, I didn't hear you because you spoke when I was speaking, which is not right.
I'm sorry. It was just so funny. Okay, chocolate oranges are gross. I agree with you. I don't like that either.
I don't like motherfucking dreamsicles.
What's a dreamsicle?
An orange popsicle with cream inside, ice cream inside.
Oh, that's a creamsicle though, isn't it?
Dreamsicle, creamsicle, what's the difference?
I like creamsicle, but I'm not into chocolate with an orange either.
And I also don't like orange sherbet.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
No.
What about lemon?
Lemon is good.
It's pronounced sherbet.
Sherbet.
It spells sherbet. But I think maybe.
Sherbert.
I say sherbet. Like,
no, it's spelled sherbet, but we say sherbet.
Yeah, we say sherbet, but it's not sherbet. You say sherbet. Yeah, sherbet. Okay, go ahead. So you don't like orange sherbet. What else?
That was three. That's all I got.
Oh, you don't like creamsicles, chocolate orange? Oh. I do. I have to disagree. I do really love a creamsicle. In fact, I don't know that I've had a creamsicle in a really long time, and now I'm regretting not. I've
You've wasted years so of many my years.
Not eating creamsicles. So funny.
I feel like the sherbet and the orange popsicle thing are kind of the same flavor profile, like orange cream mixed together is not going to be my vibe.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about like, that's the only orange cream thing I can really think of. I can't think of another creamy orange thing.
I do like, so we had at work the other day, we had a citrus pound cake on, which was good. And yes. We had a citrus icing, which I guess is kind of like a creamy orange scenario, but I liked it.
That sounds good. I made, a miso maple loaf cake that I took like orange marmalade that I had made and I like, put that inside the cake and then made like a glaze with like lemon and orange and miso and buttermilk. And it's really good. It's delicious. I don't know why the fuck I like. Made it.
Yeah.
Marmalade you like?
I used to hate it, but now I like it.
I made at work a couple weeks ago blood orange and Meyer lemon marmalade. And then we served it. I think we're going to do it again this week. We served it with like on one side of the container, there's like the marmalade. The middle, there was fresh ricotta. And then on the other side, there was like a pistachio pesto.
Whoa. That sounds wild. I want to try that.
It's delicious. And you can just like get bread and like scoop it in and make yourself like a little nibbly. It was good. Anyway, this was a fun episode.
Fun, sad, full of murder.
And drugs.
Yes.
Folks, don't waste any more of your life. Listen to Life's Banquet. okay, we love you very much. Hasta la pasta.
Bye.
Bye.
Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.